Okay, Shalom Aleichem, everybody. Not everybody is always healthy as we should be on Shabbos, so we have to make accommodations sometimes for sick people. So when you study the Shulchan Aruch, they divide all of the sick people into four different categories. The first category is the Chayla Sheyesh B'Sakana, if there's a possible danger to the person's life. So then this was a big machloikis, if you can call it that, machloikis between the Karaites and the Rabbonim. The Rambam quotes that the Karoim didn't believe in Pikuach Nefesh Dech Shabbos, and he says that one who is not careful about something, Pikuach Nefesh is an apikoris, means in the days of the Rambam, the people who would insist that the religion is so strict, God's mitzvahs are binding, even if you're going to lose your life. So that's ridiculous. That's the Karaim had that position, and that's not at all acceptable. The din is that not only if there's a Vadai Sakana, even if there's a Sofik Sakana, even if it's a Svek Sveke of a Sofik Sakana, even if it's a far-fetched Sofik Sakana, even if it's far-fetched in two different directions, different ways, let's say, the likelihood is that the person is not really that sick, and if I wait till after Shabbos, it'll be taken care of. Or the likelihood is that even if I'll drive him to the hospital on Shabbos, it looks like he's going to die anyway. So why be Mechal Shabbos if Ben Kovako is going to die? Ben Kovako is going to get better. So even if the likelihood is that nothing will be accomplished by taking him to, by being Mechal Shabbos, driving him to the hospital, it then still is that a Sfek Sfek, even if it's a far-fetched Sfek Sakana, it's still Decha Shabbos. The Gemara quotes a pasuk from Tehillim that we have in the Siddur, Shomer Psoim Hashem Daloisi V'li Yehoshia. So the Gemara says, if it's that's our Abchaim Oizer was the big pasuk in Europe, the modern pasuk. He died in the middle of the Second World War. So he has three volumes of Tshuvas that are called Achiezer. And he explains, he quotes a lot. He explains in the name of recent Achrenim that whenever there's a suffix sakana that's a little bit close to 50-50, then it doesn't matter if the person is a daredevil and he's not nervous at all. But if it's a far-fetched suffix sakana that's nowhere near 50-50, and then Halacha still says that it's called the suffix sakana, you have to be Mechal Shabbos, even if it's necessary to be Mechal Shabbos with the real Melacha Deraisa. So then if it's nowhere near 50-50, the common practice is that people are just not nervous about it, then we say Shomer Psoim Hashem. You can have a situation where it's a far-fetched suffix sakana, and you have two different people. As far as one person is concerned, he's nervous about it, so for him it's a suffix sakana. And for as far as the other people are concerned, it's not at all the suffix sakana, because they're not nervous. I remember during the Gulf War in Eretz Yisrael, so there was a chartered flight that went from New York to Eretz Yisrael, bringing boys and girls from Yeshiva and from Stern College to give chizuk to the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. And did give the chizuk. Somehow they thought that the Jews in America know something that they don't know. And the people in America, we thought the whole thing was a joke. So we went there, so we weren't nervous. And then when you get to the airport, there were thousands of Americans who were studying in Eretz Yisrael who were coming back to America and going back to England, going back home. So the question is, who's right? Is there a suffix sakana or not? So the answer is they're all right. As far as those are concerned, as far as those people who are nervous about the suffix sakana, even though it seems to be far-fetched suffix sakana, but if you're nervous about it, then it's called the suffix sakana. As far as those who thought that it was a joke, it wasn't anything near 50-50. So then it's not considered a suffix sakana. So they were both right in that situation. So the first category in Shulchan Aruch, they divide all the people who have had medical problems into four categories. So the first category is a chayla sheyesh bo sakana, that you're allowed and obligated to be mechal Shabbos, and it doesn't constitute a midas chasidus to observe Shabbos. Let's say a person knows that the din is at his mutter, but he wants to be Mesir Nefesh. So that's not called Mesiras Nefesh. If someone holds a gun to my head and he says, if I don't be Mechal Shabbos, it'll kill me. So then there are rules and regulations. If it's Bifnei Asorim in Yisrael, then there's a din of Yaharig Vayavar. If it's a bitzina, not in the presence of Asarim Yisrael, there aren't 10 Jews watching, so then there's no din of Yaharig Vayavar. So there, many Rishen would be of the opinion, but says the fellow is threatening to kill me unless I violate my religion, and he's kavana, he's miskavan lahaver al hadas. He wants to cause me to violate my religion. So then there would be a strong opinion in Taisus that as a midas chasidus, it would make sense to be machmir. But if a person is sick, there's no anas. There's no one threatening to kill him unless he violates the laws of the Torah. There's no one threatening. There is no anas. It's just that his life is in danger. So then there is no midas chasidus. I think in the Sefer Ikanti, that's in the, from the days of the Rishonim, he tells that there was one of the Bali HaTosfos. It wasn't one of the famous Bali HaTosfos, one of the lesser luminaries, who was deathly sick before Yom Kippur, and the doctors told them that if he fasts, they think he will certainly die. And if he eats, there's a slim chance that he may survive. So he decided, Ein Sofik Moitzim Dei Vadai, since he's deathly sick. And even if he eats on Yom Kippur, there's an issur to eat on Yom Kippur. Even if he eats on Yom Kippur, he may not accomplish anything. He may die anyway. So he decided to fast on Yom Kippur, and lo and behold, he died. So all the Balei HaTosfos were upset about him, and they said that he did wrong. You don't accomplish anything. There is no such midas chasidus that a cholei mesukan should be machmer al atzmo. If there would be an anas holding a gun threatening to kill him, so then many Balei HaTosfos would say that even though there's no din of Yaharig Vayavar, sometimes Betzina, but as a Midas Chasidus, there would be a Kiyam of an Igdash to B'Sof Meneso. But if there's no Anas, no one is intending to be Mabehim Aladash, it's just that his life is in danger. He's a Chayla, so there's no Midas Chasidus there. So that's the first category, Chodesh She'esh B'Sakana. Chodesh She'esh B'Sakana, the accepted opinion of Shulchan Aruch is that it's Sakonas HaChayim, that he may possibly lose his life. What if he will lose a limb? So there is a minority, Shabbat minority opinion. The Meiri obviously had a different girsa in the Gemara, Maseches Avodah Zarah, where this topic is discussed. So the Meiri was of the opinion, halacha lemaisa, that even if there's just danger of loss of a limb, no danger of loss of his life, one is permitted to violate a malacha deraisa on Shabbos to save the limb. And Shulchan Aruch, that is not the accepted opinion. Accepted opinion is that that's a separate category. Whenever one is in danger of losing a limb, then we allow one to violate all Isurim Derabbanan. But we wouldn't permit an Isa Deraisa. There was a great Goyen who died about 50 years ago. He wrote this from Sri Deish, Rabbi Chiel Yaakov Weinberg. He was head of the Yeshiva in Hildesheim Seminary in Berlin before the war. And then after the war, he lived in Switzerland. He has very strong tshuvas and Sefer Sri Deish. So he raised the possibility, maybe we should reconsider the psak on this issue, because he thought that there are other Rishonim. If you only have a Shita Yechidah, if it's only the Meiri who says like that, nobody else agrees, so then you just ignore the opinion. Even if you're talking about Sofik Sakana. But if it's not only the Meiri, if you have other Rishonim as well, then maybe we should reconsider the Psak. So they say some Gedolim Paskan like that, that even possibility of loss of a limb is also considered Pikuach Nefesh, and one is permitted to be Mechal Shabbos even with a Malacha Derais. But the Pashta says that opinion has not really been accepted. We assume that if the way it says in the Shulchan Aruch, that if there's only loss of a limb, then one is, it's a difficult din, but one is not permitted to be Mechal Shabbos with any Issa Deraisa, but all the Rabbanans are Mutta. Then the third category of Cholei She'ein Bo Sakana. Cholei She'ein Bo Sakana means no chashash of loss of a life, no chashash of loss of a limb, just that the person has such a serious condition that it prevents him from functioning normally. Let's say there's a mild headache and there's a splitting headache. So if the person has such a headache that he can't function normally, he doesn't enjoy eating food, or he has to lay in bed. Let's say a person has the flu and he has to lay in bed. He can't walk around, can't function normally, can't concentrate on anything. So that's called the Cholei She'ein Bo Sakana. or let's say a baby in Shulchan Aruch, they have this based on Gemaras. Let's say a baby usually plays with his toys or plays with his siblings. And when the baby is hungry or thirsty, wants his bottle, so he starts crying and he can't function normally. The baby's not sick, but he has a condition, babyhood. And because he's hungry and because he's a baby, so the only way he can communicate is by crying, and he can't function normally. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch that usually by little children who just exaggerate everything, they're going to start crying. They won't be able to function normally, whatever the definition of functioning normally is for that age. So that has the status of v'chol l'shem v'sakana. So what's the din of v'chol l'shem v'sakana? So there are different opinions in the Shulchan Aruch, and then the four different opinions are quoted. How far are we lenient? And then the Shulchan Aruch writes that we pass on like the third opinion that was mentioned previously. What is the third opinion? That's the Ramban. The Ramban was a doctor, and he wrote a Sefer Torah Sa'odam. Torah Sa'odam talks about when a baby is born on Shabbos, to what extent is one permitted to be Michal Shabbos to take care of the baby? And then how do you take care of the baby when he grows older? And then what happens when is a doctor permitted to practice medicine, when not? Not all doctors are permitted to practice medicine. You have to have authorization from the government or from the Bezin that you're a qualified doctor. And then what happens if the doctor is not successful? So what are the dinim of kvura, and what are the dinim of avelos? What are the dinim of ripping kriya? And he has all the dinim of avelos, of shiva, shloshim, and if it's a parent who died, you'd be schedule. So that's Torah Sa'odim. From the time the baby is born till a person dies, he has all the dinim, he collects all the gemaras, and he writes all the opinions. So the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch didn't have the Torah Sa'odim l'Haramban. It was only printed years later. But the Shulchan Aruch had it, the Tur. The Tur with the Shulchan Aruch is based on the Tur. The Tur was written by the son of the Rosh. The Rosh lived in Germany. Then he ran away after the Maharam Rutmerg was put in prison by the local government in order to hold up the Jewish community for ransom money. And then he gave instruction that they're not allowed to ransom him because they were asking for an exorbitant amount of money, way more than he would sell for on the slave market. There used to be a slave market at that time. So the Mishnah says that even though he was a big Talmid Chacham, the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to pay more Yosef Mikdei Demeim. And pay the Master Shreem Yosef Mikdei Demeim. So the Maharam Rutmerg said that they shouldn't put up the ransom money. It's against the din. And he says, and even if he dies in the prison, they shouldn't give the ransom money even after he dies. They shouldn't ransom his body. So as long as he was alive, they followed his instructions. After he died, so wealthy Balabas put up the money, and he got the body back against the wishes, against the instructions of the Maharam Rutenberg. And then a couple of years after the Maharam Rutenberg died in prison, the Balabas who put up the money later was rewarded by the Jewish community. He was buried next to the Maharam Rutenberg. And then a few years after, the Rosh realized now they're going to put him in prison, hold up the Jewish community in Germany for the ransom money. So he ran away to Spain. So the Tur was the son of the Rosh, and he had access to the Sefer Torah Sa'odam by the Ramban. The Rosh quotes it, and the Tur quotes it a lot. And the Shulchan Aruch, they say the din is like the third of the four shittas quoted. That's the shittas of Ramban. The commentary of the Shulchan Aruch, though, didn't have this Sefer Torah Sa'odam l'Haramban. So they were trying to reconstruct what is the Deh HaShlishis, what is the shittas of Ramban. So what it seems to be is the following, that all of the rabbinical prohibitions in Hilchos Shabbos and Kashrus and other areas are divided into two different categories. Sometimes what the rabbis prohibited on Shabbos, there are malachas min haTorah, then you have malachas min derabbanan, and then you have sometimes something is prohibited min derabbanan, it's not even called a malach, it's a lower level, it's only a gzeirah. Take, for example, you're not allowed to climb on a tree. We're afraid that if you're going to climb on a tree, you may accidentally break off a branch. You're not allowed to ride horseback on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The common practice used to be you would rip off a branch from the tree in order to whip the horse, in order that it should go faster. So if a person breaks off a branch on Shabbos HaYontav, that's a malacha of kotzer, because it was attached to the ground, it was growing, and now you're detaching it from the ground, like plucking off an apple from a tree. Here you're breaking off a branch that's still attached to the tree. So can you really say that if a person rides horseback on Shabbos, he violated kotzer midirabbanan? He didn't do kotzer at all. It's a gzeira shema. It may lead to kotzer. You can say a person climbs a tree on Shabbos, he climbs up on a tree and he sits there. He has a tree house. So you're going to say the person climbs on a tree, he violated kotzer midirabbanan. He didn't break off any branch. So that's not a malach midirabbanan. That's only a gzeira. But a lot of times a person does a malach which is muta min haTorah, but it's forbidden midirabbanan. So maybe in some of those cases, we would consider a malacha midirabbanan. We wouldn't say that it's only a gzera. All of the rabbinical prohibitions were all instituted because of gzera. We're afraid if you'll allow this activity, next thing you know is that the person will violate a real malacha deraisa. But they're all b'toras gzera. But the question, that is what motivated the chachamim to introduce a prohibition, because they're afraid it may lead to something worse. It may lead to Shmartam es Mishmarti, as the concluding pasuk in Parshas Achrimos, and Anshe Knes HaGdol, if you remember the opening Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Moshe Kibbel Torah Sinai, until the Torah was transmitted to the Anshe Knes HaGdol, that was the beginning of the Bais Sheni period. And then the Anshe Knes HaGdol introduced many, many gzeiros. And the Mishnah quotes in Pirkei Avos, they had three mottos, three themes, and they acted based on many of their activities were based on these three themes. And one of them was Aseis Yog LaTorah. Aseis Yog LaTorah, you should introduce a lot of gzeiros midirabbanan. And the Torah authorizes this. That's the concluding pasuk in Chumash VaYikra and Parshas Achrimos. It says, "Shmartem es mishmati, l'vilti asos mechukos ha-tayvos ha-ele," etc. So the rabbis had a tradition that that's what it means. "Shmartem es mishmati, asum mishmeres le-mishmati, aseh siog la-Torah." Why the Anshei Knes HaGdola? Why only in the beginning of the Bais Sheni? In the Bais Rishon period, there were very few gzeiros were made. Why did the Anshei Knes HaGdola feel that in the beginning of the Bais Sheni period, there's more of a concern and there's more of a need to make gzeiros? So that's Kabbalah Sfarim talk about that, the Baal HaTanya. First, Lubavitcher Rebbe has a whole essay about this in connection with the fact that we don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah if it falls out on Shabbos. So he quotes Kabbalah sources, why? Why was there a bigger concern in Bais Sheni period than in Bais Rishon period? Whatever the explanation is, this was the policy that they had, that you have to make a lot of gzeiros. So many of the gzeiros on Shabbos are also because of gzeira, and some of them were declared midirabbanan as malachas. Let's say if a person carries in the Rishus HaRabim, so that's a malacha deraisa. If a person carries in a Carmelis, I would have thought maybe that's a malacha midirabbanan. So in the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch, you see it's not even a malacha midirabbanan, it's only a gzeira. That's only a gzeira. If you carry in a Carmelis, that's a gzeira, it's not a malach. But sometimes not so easy to figure out. So the third category from the four people who don't feel well, so the first category was a cholim mesukan, where there's a sakonas hachayim. Second category, that you're permitted and obligated to be mechal shabbos, even if it's a far-fetched chashash, if the person is nervous about it, if the cholim is nervous about it. So you're permitted and obligated even to be mechal shabbos with a melacha derais. Second category is the sakonas aver, but there's no sakonas achayim. Then we pass under all the rabbanan zamuta. If you don't even have sakonas aver, you just have, he's a cholim she'ein b'sakana. He has a condition that prevents him from functioning normally. Either cholim kol gufo mutar lemishkov. Either he has to lay in bed, or he has so much aches and pains that he simply can't function normally, has a splitting headache. So then we permit one to violate all gzeiros, but we don't permit one to violate a malacha midirabbanan. Malacha midirabbanan, we would only allow if there's a sakana sever, or worse. But just to violate gzeira, that we would permit one to violate all gzeira. So what's an example of a gzeira? So the we'll get to a lot of examples. So there's a fourth category of a person who doesn't feel well, a bari who has a mechesh bi'alma. Let's say a person is basically healthy, but he has a mild headache. He has slight aches and pains. He's able to function. He can walk. He can walk, but when he walks, it hurts him a little bit. But he's going to survive. It's not such a painful situation. So the halacha says, if a person is a bari, basically healthy, with only a slight mechesh bi'alma, then we say not only do we not give him any leniencies, there's a prohibition mid the rabbanon, there's an iser to apply any medication. It's prohibited to take a pill. Why? Because in the days of the Tanaim, when a person would have to take some medication, usually they would grind up some herbs. So if a person grinds up herbs, that's a violation of tochen, that's a malacha. So they prohibited applying any medication. Gzeir shema yitchan. Gzeir shema yushachik samamanim. He may grind the samamanim into fine particles and then be in violation of tochen. And even if, let's say, the person has a bellyache, person has a slight bellyache and he wants to use a hot water bottle to feel better, so there's nothing to grind over there. Nonetheless, that's what it says in the Gemara, that you're not allowed to use a hot water bottle on Shabbos because of this gzera. Even though the reason for the gzera doesn't apply, the gzera still applies. So they prohibited, midrabbanan, they prohibited using medication. Gzera shem yishachik salman. Can you say with a straight face that whoever swallows a pill on Shabbos is in violation of tochein? No, he didn't do trina. It's a gzera shem yishachik samamanim. So that's only a gzera. The most it is a gzera. So let's say if the person would be a choylo she'en bo sakona, not a bari with a mechesh b'alma. The third category is a choylo, a person, he can't function normally. He has a condition that prevents him from functioning normally. So we said the halachic kadeya hashlishis, we pass like the Ramban. So we would permit, in such a case, we would permit one to apply a medication if there's no malacha involved, only the actual prohibition of applying medication to swallow a pill. So then we would say that since swallowing a pill is not even a malacha midrabban, it's only a gzera, so all gzeras are mutta b'makom chol d'shem b'sakana. The Gemara has a few. That's the Mishnah Berurah paskins like that. There was a major Paisek, Litvishe Paisek, who wrote the Sefer Mishkan Es Yankif. He was the Talmud of Rav Chaim Valojiner. He was from the early Talmidim of Rav Chaim Valojiner. Rav Chaim Valojiner was a student of the Vilna Gaon. He was the most outstanding student of the Vilna Gaon. He was the one who founded the Valojiner Yeshiva in the early, I think, 1801 or something like that. And Yeshiva lasted for 90 years. Until it was closed by the Russian government. So the author of the Mishkan Es Yankif claims, based on a Gemara, that one is only permitted to take medication if he has a suffix sakana. But if he's a cholu shein bo sakana, we would not permit him to take medication. So the Mishnah Berurah does not accept that opinion. Even though Mishnah Berurah will very often quote this Pesach, this Mishkan Es Yankif, he quotes the majority opinion that since applying medication is only a gzera midrabbanan, it's not even a malacha midrabbanan, so we allow for a cholu she'en bo sakana, a person has a condition that prevents him from functioning normally, so we allow one to violate all gzeras, so applying medication is only a gzera midrabbanan. What's really a big, that's already touchy to figure out which rabbinical prohibitions are only a gzera, and therefore there would be muta for cholu she'en bo sakana, and which are considered malachas mirabbanan. Take, for example, the Gemara has a funny case. A person is sick and he can't function. Normally he has to go to sleep. And he can't fall asleep. He can't fall asleep. And the only way to get better, to regain his strength, is by, because he's so weak, the only way to regain his strength is to sleep. So the Gemara says we would be permitted to play the piano, to play soft music, if there's no malacha involved. It's just playing a piano is prohibited by the Rabbanan on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Zeres Shemi Yisak and Klei Shir. He may hear that the piano is off tune, off key, and he may fix the piano, even though today you need an expert to fix the piano. So the reason for the Xera maybe doesn't apply today, but that's a principle that the Gemara has a long discussion about. Even if we know the reason for the rabbinical prohibition, once the rabbis made an Issa de Rabbanan, even if you live in a generation where the whole reason doesn't apply. The Gzera de Rabbanan still applies until that time that you'll put together another bezdin to undo the original prohibition. That's called Davsha Biminyan. Whenever there was a prohibition with the Rabbanan that was voted on by the rabbis, they had to take a vote. So Davsha Biminyan, Tzoch Minyan Achala Hatiro. Even if you live in a generation where the whole reason doesn't apply, the rabbinical prohibition still applies until you put together a bezin to undo it. So that's what some years ago when I was a student, before I got married, I was a student in the yeshiva. So the yeshiva at that time, that was over 50 years ago. So the yeshiva used to publish pamphlets with essays on halacha topics. So they had one of the prominent rabbis of the time. He was a prominent rabbi in the rabbinate. He wasn't from the biggest Torah scholars, but he was a nice leading rabbi. So he published a whole pamphlet, and he was making fun of some other rabbi, the Rabbi X. He tells you by name. Rabbi X, in his essay, also published by the yeshiva, is concerned about applying medications on Shabbos. And my shul, I already permitted it. He quotes, he follows a certain pasuk from Eretz Yisrael, that the whole gzera of medication doesn't apply bizman hazeh, because nobody grinds up any medications today. In the factory, they'll grind it up. In this pharmaceutical companies, they'll grind it up. But there's no gzera that applying medication, because the person is going to grind it up. We never grind anything up. So since the reason doesn't apply, so the whole prohibition doesn't apply. So the Pashto says that it's not correct, that that's called the Davsha Biminyan. I remember when people showed this to Rabbi Soloveitchik, he was very upset, and he says it's not correct. The Gzera de Rabbana still applies, even Mizman Hazeh, even though the reason for the Gzera doesn't apply, that's what we call a Dovashim and Minyan, Tzoch Minyan Achala Hatira. So the Gemara has a few examples. For a Chol Hashem B'Sakana, we would permit Amira L'Nochri. Let's say a person doesn't feel well, but they don't think that his life is in danger. He's throwing up or whatever. He doesn't feel well at all, can't function normally. He's a chol hashem sakana. He has a condition that prevents him from functioning normally, but there's no chashash sakana to his life, nor is there any chashash sakana to any limb, just that he's not well. So the Gemara says, we would permit Amir al-Nachri, if permitted to have a goy, drive him to the hospital. Even though driving a car on Shabbos, we assume, is a malocha deraisa of Havari, you're burning the gasoline. But still, Amir al-Nachri, we assume, is only a gzera derabbanan. So it's not a malocha derabbanan. I'm not doing it. The Nachri is driving the car. So since Amir al-Nachri is only derabbanan, so we would allow it. Swallowing pills is only a gzera derabbanan. It's not a malacha midrabbanan, so we would allow taking medication, taking pills, if the fellow is a chol hashem sakan, playing the piano is prohibited on Shabbos. It's not a malacha midrabbanan, it's a gzeira, shemi yisakan klei shir. He may hear that the piano or the guitar is off key, and then he may go ahead and fix it. So it's not that when you play a piano, you're in violation of a malacha. When you play a piano, you violate a gzeira because it may lead to a malacha. And that's all it is a gzeira. So these are different examples that appear in the Gemara that for a chol hashem b'sakana we would be mekel. Let's say a non-Jewish doctor came to my home and he says he has to prescribe a medication. And let's say there's an erev in the community, I'll be able to take the prescription to the drugstore and I'll tell him I'm a shomer Shabbos and he'll give me the medication and I'll pay him after Shabbos. We have an arrangement. Fine. So the doctor says he doesn't have a pen. Can I give him a pen? So I tell him, I'm a shomer Shabbos, I can't handle the pen. The pen is in the drawer. Please, the pen is muktzah. Something like muktzah, klisha malach d'liyisah. So I say, please take the pen. So the goyisha doctor says, if you don't give me the pen, I'm not going to go to the drawer. I'm not going to fill out the prescription. So is it permissible to handle the muktzah dika pen to the goyisha doctor that he should fill out the prescription? I'm here for the chol hashem b'sakana. So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote, this is not a Gemara, this is from the Sefer Issa v'Heter. It's an Issa v'Heter by Rabbeinu Yoina Ashkenazi that's quoted in Yerideya on every page. So this is an Orachaim. This is not Yerideya. So we would permit tiltal muktzah. Whatever is only a gzera midrabbanan, it's not even a malach midrabbanan. What's a big question is the following. The Mogen Avraham is one of the standard commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes this from the Mogen Avraham. What if the fellow is a chol hashem b'sakana And the way to cure him, the way to treat him, that he should feel better, is to violate a malachat, but I'll do it al yedei shinui. I won't do it in the normal way. So when a person does a malachat deraisa al yedei shinui, is that considered a malachat midirabbanan? He's doing a malacha. Is that considered minatur? It's muta because it's only prohibited if it's malachas marshevis. Malachas marshevis means you do the malacha in the normal way. If you do al yedei shinui, a kalachayad, that's only forbidden midirabbanan. So that's the question. When a person does a malacha deraisa al yedei shinui, do we consider that a malacha midirabbanan? Do you say no? Since it's lacking malachas marshevis, so even though midirabbanan they prohibited it, but you can't even call it a malacha midirabbanan. A malacha rabbanon also has to be a malachas marshev. So the worst he can consider it is a gzera de rabbanon. So that's a big question. So the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Brura, both of them didn't have the Ramban. They didn't have the original Torah Sa'odam by the Ramban. The Shulchan Aruch says, halacha kedeya hashlishis. We pass on like the third opinion. The third opinion is the Ramban. That's what it says in the Torah. Third is the Ramban. So they didn't have the original Ramban. So they were putting together, based on the way they understood the Torah, so they thought that what it said was that you're only permitted to violate a malacha de rabbanon al yedei shinui. That's a shvuz de shvuz. Shvuz de shvuz, if something is only prohibited based on a combination of two prohibitions mid the rabbanon, like here, I'll do a malacha de rabbanon al yedei shinui. It's not a malacha on the level of the raisa at all. And then when I do it al yedei shinui. So it's a double de rabbanon. So whenever one is confronted with a situation of a double the rabbanon, it's prohibited, it's aser. We don't consider that exer. The rabbis have no right to make exer. But this is not the same. This is a shvuz de shvuz. So we paskin and shulchan aruch, they're different opinions. We paskin and shulchan aruch that a shvuz de shvuz, b'makam mitzvah is muta, b'makam tzarech gadla, b'makam chodesh em sakana is muta. So that's what the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Brura understood from this din in shulchan aruch, that to do a malacha mid the rabbanon al yedei shinui would be considered a shvuz the shvuz, and for the chol l'shem b'sakana we would allow it. And the first Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote the Shulchan Aruch Harav. Some of you may be familiar with it. He wrote like a Chayi Adam, where he gives you briefly what the p'sak halacha is, and is very often is quoted in the Mishnah Brura halacha l'maisa. So here, the Alter Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, wrote what, like it says in the Ramban. We have the Ramban now. That's exactly what it says. It says, even a malacha deraisa al yedei shinui is also muta. It's very surprising that in the Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, he just goes with the Mishnah Brura, who took over the understanding of the Magen Avraham, and he ignores the Alter Rebbe. He ignores the Shulchan Aruch Harav, even though there was a great Chassidish Rebbe, died 100 years ago, the Sochet Shover Rebbe, he wrote Avnei Nezer, Shuvas Avnei Nezer, and he wrote a separate Sefer on Hilchos Shabbos. That's called Egle Tal, the drops of dew, because there were Lamates Malachas on Shabbos. He called the Sefer Egle Tal. He was originally going to write on all the Lamates, all his Malachas. He didn't live so long. So he only wrote, the Sefer only covers the first 10-15. And then the rest he began, but he never finished. He has the beginnings of all the rest of the Malachas in his Avnei Nezer. So he points out that the Baal HaTanya is right. So that's a question. The Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa wrote Lechumra on this. He quoted the Mishnah Brura, and he just ignored what the Avnei Nezer wrote, that the Ramban himself writes the Feirish Natsa. Now all the students in yeshivas, everybody has a Ramban, Torah Sodom. So you can look it up. You see what the Ramban says, Feirish. Even a Malacha Deraisa would be Muta Yedei Shinia for Achol L'Shem V'Sakon. So again, these are the four categories of people. The chol she'esh b'sakone, we're permitted and obligated to do whatever is necessary to save his life, even if need be to be mechal Shabbos, but the malacha deraisa. Whenever one can save life, whenever there's a case of pikuach nefesh, he can save the life by violating a derabbanan. So we try to minimize the issa. The Gemara calls it Hakal hakal tchila, try to violate the lesser of the two evils. So you try to make it into a derabbanan. But if need be, if the only way to save the person's life is to drive to the hospital, on Shabbos, we assume is a malacha deraisa. To drive to the hospital, to drive on Yontif, we assume is only anisa derabbanan. But to drive a car on Shabbos, we assume is a real malacha deraisa. So again, the first category is chodesh yesh but sakonas mavis. Second category is a chayla with a sakonas aver, with this possibility of loss of a limb. So then we permit all derabbanans, even a malacha derabbanan. Third category is a chayla she'ein bo sakona. No, we don't think his life is in danger. We don't think any limbs are in danger, but he's so sick he can't function normally. And by little children, he doesn't even have to be sick. He just wants his bottle. So, and if he doesn't get his bottle, he's going to cry. He won't be able to play with his dolls. He won't be able to play with his siblings. So that's called the chodesh ein bo sakona. Tzorchei atinok are usually treated like a chodesh ein bo sakona. And Shulchan Aruch says that based on the Gemara. So then you would even permit amir l'nachri. You would permit amir l'nachri. Yeah, and then the fourth category is a bari with a mechesh b'yam, a healthy person, but he has a slight ache and pain. So then not only are we not lenient, that's where the rabbis instituted exeret. That's when you're not allowed to apply medications. Medications, it says in the Gemara, in the Shulchan Aruch, is only if it's refuah hanikeres. Let's say some people enjoy drinking schnapps. I personally do not understand what they enjoy. Schnapps tastes awful. So I only drink schnapps when I have a bad cold and I want to get better. So I drink some schnapps. So the question is that called refuah hanikeres? So by other people, it's not niker. They drink schnapps all the time. By me, one can argue the point and say that it's obvious by me because I never drink schnapps unless I'm sick. So that's the din, since schnapps is considered a meichel, and the people who drink it enjoy it. And they say a bracha on it, so even though I don't enjoy it, but it's considered, some people don't enjoy spinach. Some people don't enjoy all kinds of food, but it's food and it's edible. So you say a bracha on it. So since schnapps is a meichel and some people enjoy it, so you say a bracha. And even though in your case it may be a refuah hanikeres, that's the din that it's muta. It's considered a refuah shein hanikeres. Rav Soloveitchik was of the opinion that taking an aspirin is also considered meichel briyim. It's not considered a refuah hanikeres because there's so many healthy people that take aspirins every day for whatever, for various purposes. So the Rav Soloveitchik and several others were of the opinion that that's not called a refuah hanikeres. I remember there was a woman my family would be near her family on vacation in the summertime. So after many years, I never knew. She told me that she has a danger of developing cancer, and she takes certain pills every single day of her life. But on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, she doesn't take the pills. I said to her, "Are you crazy?" So she said, "But I'm still here. It's already 40 years later. I'm still here, even though I didn't take the pills on Yom Kippur and Tishma." So I said, you're not allowed to be machmeh. If the doctor tells you have to take every day, you should take every day. That's not right. There was a big Talmud Chacham. He passed away years ago. And Chazon Ish used to refer to him as Rabbi Yamin HaTzadik. His name is Rabbi Yamin Zilber. He lived in Eretz Yisrael. He wasn't, he wrote Svarim and Learning. He wrote a Sefer on Hilchos Shabbos. And then it became so popular, people were sending him letters. So he would correspond with many different people. And he wrote about 15 volumes of correspondence that he had with different people. Started off correspondence on Hilchos Shabbos, and then it turned into correspondence on Kol HaTorah Kula. So this Rabbi Yamin Zilber and his Sefer, he gave an original suggestion, and I think it has been accepted. Let's say if a person has a condition, acne, whatever, he doesn't look good. He doesn't look good. And they have some pills, a medication for that. But it doesn't really prevent them from functioning. Normally he can function with that. And if he's not going to take the medication, you have to take it every single day, for many days in a row. That if you're going to skip every Shabbos and Yom Tov, you're going to skip 2 days Yom Tov and 1 day Shabbos, it's going to take much longer to get rid of this condition. So he wrote, Mistaber, in his mind, he thinks that the Chachamim meant you shouldn't apply refuah on Shabbos, means instead of getting better in 8 days, it'll take him 10 days. take another day or two to get better. But if it's going to take extra weeks or extra months, because not going to take consistently, either he won't get better at all unless he has consecutive days, or it'll take him significantly longer, then he thinks mistaba that hachachamim never intended to prohibit refuah in such a situation. It's only if it's not going to postpone significantly the healing process. But if it'll be a longer, much longer way, then it doesn't make sense to assume that the Chachamim won't prohibit that. There is a big debate in the Rishonim. If a pregnant woman has a sakona, and you're not concerned about the life of the mother, you're only concerned about the life of the fetus, she may or may not lose the baby. Is that considered pikuach nefesh? Is the baby wasn't born yet? So is that considered a nefesh, that that's v'chai b'hem v'lo she'amas b'hem? Or do you say, no, pikuach nefesh is only decha Shabbos to do a melacha deraisa if the person is alive already, the person was born already. But if you have a fetus that wasn't born yet, so maybe the whole din of pikuach nefesh doesn't apply. So that's a big dispute in Tosfos. It rarely comes up, because whenever there's a chashash suffix sakana to the fetus, it's usually going to be a suffix sakana to the pregnant mother as well. But in rare cases, if you have doctors there and the doctors say there's no sakana to the mother, the mother's going to have a stillborn child, or the baby's going to die, so she's going to have a dead baby, it'll be a sakana to the mother as well. In the rare case where it's only a sakana to the fetus and not to the mother, so that's a big machlokes. So the quote from the Chazon Ish that we would be mekel on that also. Whenever it's a suffix sakana, so a mekel. So here it's not a suffix in metzias, it's a suffix in din. But the pikuach nefesh is doicha if the life of the fetus is in danger. So that we would be mekel on that. Okay, maybe we will open the floor for comments or questions.
Maybe there are two questions that were posted. One was a question about, first of all, thank you. One was a question of, was between machlokas, either between the potential chola and the doctor, whether the doctor thinks there's a chola or vice versa, and the chola doesn't, or vice versa. And the same with... let's say a person, a family member falls, for example, and the family feels like we should make sure that they get checked out. But the person says, no, I'm okay right now. Whose opinion do we take into account when it comes to deciding which category the person falls into? And if the person says, I'm totally okay, but the doctor says, no, you're not, or other family members say, I really want you to get checked out, you don't look okay. Whose opinion do we take into account when we're making that decision?
If it's machlekes between the doctor and the patients, I would think for sure the doctor wins. The only time that we say we consider what the patient has to say against the doctor is fasting on Yom Kippur, because the doctor can't tell how much hunger pains the patient has. So the patient says, I'm starving, I'm afraid I'm going to die. The doctor can't tell what his sensation is. But if it's anything other than fasting, the Gemara uses the expression, Lev Yadea Maras Napsha. The person who's starving, he can tell on his own. The doctor can't tell about his hunger pains. But if it's a person fell down a flight of stairs or something like that, we certainly would listen to the doctor. We would ignore what the patient has to say. The family members also, you should consider, one should convince the patient that he should go for a checkup. Yeah? It's a suffix sakana. Whenever the family members feel that there's a suffix sakana, they can't take the fellow against his wishes, but they should try to convince him that there is a slight suffix sakana is also a suffix sakana. There's no minas chasidus to give up your life on Shabbos because you didn't want to be mahal Shabbos. That's not a minas chasidus. In fact, there's an interesting discussion that some of the poskim have. There was a fellow who had a chazaka to blow shofar year after year after year in his community. This was in the late 1800s, 150 years ago. And one year the doctor said, you have a heart condition. He developed a heart condition in his old age. And the doctor said, you're not allowed to blow shofar, you may get a heart attack. So he didn't listen to the doctors. They blew shofar anyway, and he said to everybody, you see, I'm fine, and everybody's healthy, and the doctors were wrong. So the Rabbanim said the Balabatim were not yotzei the tkiya shofar, because since Al-Pidin, there was a suffix sakana, and he wasn't allowed to blow. So it's like the din mishenim b'chuy b'dover and emotia sarabim m'dei chayvosam. And you can't say, but it turned out that it was all a mistake. You didn't mean that it was going to turn out. The doctors thought that there was a suffix sakana. Same thing, let's say, in halacha, it says if you have to postpone a bris because the baby's really sick, so then when the doctors say the baby's okay, he's able to have the bris now, then you have to wait 7 full days. You have to wait 7 full days, me'ais le'ais. The doctors, let's say, I remember one of the rabbis in the yeshiva, he had a baby boy and the baby was sick. So 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the doctor said the baby is okay, you can do the bris. So he waited till a week later, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The Gemara said, you have to wait me'ais le'ais and then you do the bris. So the Achrenim have a discussion. What if you did the bris in the middle of the 8 days? You didn't wait the full 7 days. You didn't wait till the 8th day afterwards. And you did the bris and the baby survived. So many Achrenim say that you're not yotzei. That's like doing a bris when you're not mechuyev to do the bris. If you do the bris before the 8th day, so you have to do a toughest dam bris. You have to do a little bit over. So some of the poskim say, whenever the bris had to be postponed because of a suffix sakana, and then they went ahead and they did the bris. They didn't listen to the halacha. They went ahead and they did the bris. So they say, they weren't yotzei. And you don't say, but it turned out that the whole thing was a mistake. Not so. Now also, a lot of people feel that big knackers, and they're not using masks, and they're not wearing gloves, and they're not distancing themselves from other people. And Rahman al-Itzlan, if someone's going to die, we'll understand why. The doctors recommend that we should be careful over here. Yeah.
Thank you, Rabbi. Another question was posted with regard to the treatment specifically for the acne, I think. The cheshbon about it taking many more months with regard to pills, would any similar calculations exist for creams servicing the same function, or is it restricted because of the gzeira?
You see, to use a cream is a bigger problem. There's a malacha of the mareach. Is it told of memachik? Memachik is if I have a rough surface. Let's say I have a piece of wood that's rough. So I use sandpaper to make sandpaper, so to sand it down to make it smooth. So that's a malacha of memachik. Or let's say I shechted an animal and I have the hide. And the hide is not smooth because it has a lot of hair. So I scrape off all the hair, and then I make the surface smooth by removing the stuff that doesn't belong. So that's called memachik. Then there's another memarech, as I told the memachik. Let's say my shoes are all rough, and I put on shoe polish to make it smooth. Or the floor is all rough, and I put wax on the floor. Years ago, they used to have, they didn't put carpets, so they had linoleum. So when you have a rough linoleum, it's a little scratch, so you pour wax on it, so you make it smooth. So whenever you make a rough surface smooth by adding something, that's a memarech, is also a tolda memachek. That's a problem of a malocha. So the Esther Chazanish, what if a person smears on his skin some kind of a lotion, and the whole lotion will be absorbed under the skin? So you're not making a new smooth surface on top of the skin, but you're making the surface, let's say you have chapped hands, you rub in a lotion, everything gets absorbed under the skin, but the purpose of the lotion is to make the skin smooth. So the Chazon Ish on different occasions is quoted as, Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa quotes this, he wasn't sure. Sometimes he thought maybe it's mutter, and other, because other times he thought that it was aser. So that's the general practice now, that we are concerned that maybe that too is a violation of mimarech. Whenever you have a real, so that could be a melocha deraisa. We were just talking about swallowing pills. So taking a pill is just an isa refuah. But sometimes you have a real melocha deraisa involved. So that would only be mutter if you have a suffix sakana to the person's life.
Someone asked regarding preventative medicine on Shabbos. If someone is currently in one of the categories, but we're not sure yet, but they could potentially, if we don't treat them now, like soon, they could turn into one of the later categories. Which category do you treat? Do you treat it at the time that the category is in front of you, or in potential future categories? And kind of how large the suffix would need to be in order to accomplish that?
Shulchan Aruch, they quote this story of the Maharam Rutenberg that I mentioned before, that the government put him in prison in Germany. They locked him up in prison to hold up the Jewish community for their ransom money. The Rush was one of his prominent students. The Rush was a wealthy man. He wanted to put up half the money and collect the rest of the money from the Jewish community. And then the Rebbe said, you're not allowed to. It's against the halacha. And put him in Sashem Yesak Deidemim. So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote this story. When he was in prison, they allowed the students to come every day, and he gave a shiur. And on Shabbos, when the students would come, sometimes it would be freezing cold. It would be in the winter time, so they were afraid they would catch a cold. And if you got a cold, then you have to lay in bed. So to prevent them from becoming a chayla, they were all healthy. To prevent a healthy person from becoming a chayla, she'ein bo sakana, so they were permitted to ask the goyim to please make a fire. Please burn the logs, make a fire. So they go in the prison guards. Why not? They weren't punishing Maharam Rutenberg. They just were hoping to make a couple of million dollars on him to let the Jewish community pay their ransom money. So they quote in Shulchan Aruch, Amira Lenachri, just like Amira Lenachri is mutter, to drive the patient to the hospital if he's a chayla she'ein bo sakana. So Amira Lenachri, to make a fire, to keep him warm, to prevent them from becoming a chayla she'ein bo sakana, would also be mutter. Some achrayim say you're only allowed to take medication if he already is a chayla she'ein bo sakana. But to prevent him from becoming a chayla she'ein bo sakana, you're not allowed to take medication. But the pashtus is not so. The pashtus is all of the heterim for the chayla she'ein bo sakana are all the same. You're allowed to handle a pen to give it to the goyish doctor. You're allowed to play the music that the chayla should fall asleep. You're allowed to ask a nochri to do the malacha for you. You're allowed to take medication. You're permitted to violate all the things that are only gzeiros. And it says you're permitted to violate it not only if he already is a chayla she'ein bo sakana, to prevent them from becoming. Chayla she'ein bo sakana is also mutter. If there's a suffix also. Just like if it's a chayla she'yesh bo sakana. So if it's a suffix, we say it's mutter. So the chayla she'ein bo sakana, that we only allow violation of gzeiros derabbanan also. If there's a suffix, you're not sure. So suffix is also mutter.
Okay, thank you so much, Rabbi. I guess we could open up. Did anyone else have any questions? If you didn't post it, feel free to, you could unmute yourself. Any questions? Quickly, otherwise, we'll give another 10 seconds. Anyone? Oh, we have a question, Rosa. Okay, someone asked a question of whether or not there's an issue using ice pack regarding Shabbos or not. The concern is mostly a bruise or not, but would that fall into the category? I guess the question is of medication or of medicine for Shabbos.
The ice pack is for what purpose?
Presumably they hurt themselves. Someone hurt themselves on Shabbos, and the concern is really that they shouldn't bruise or make a kind of a bruise, really just superficially. But it's not a. I'm assuming that let's assume that there is a bruise, and they want to put the ice back, that they shouldn't make a bump, because they're concerned about it healing correctly.
Even to put an ice pack is also an Issa Refuah. To put a hot water bottle is an Issa Refuah, even though there's nothing to grind up over there. Even though the reason for the Zera doesn't apply, Zera still applies. Unless the purpose of applying the ice pack is that it shouldn't get worse, it shouldn't develop to become more serious. Okay, so that could be to prevent the Refuah. We would permit Refuah if it's to prevent the person from becoming a Chol Hashem B'Sakana. If you're afraid that right now it's only a bari with a mechesh bialma, but if you don't put the ice pack and they develop to become a chodesh em sakana, so then the pashta says we would permit it.
Okay, and the last question that I have here is, can someone use a multivitamin on Shabbos? Something that I guess they take a daily vitamin every day, Would that be permissible in Shabbos as well?
Some poskim write that if a person has to take pills for a few days in a row, and he started before Shabbos, since he didn't begin on Shabbos, he began on the weekdays, then it's mutter to continue on Shabbos. But this Rabbi Yamin Zilber shows from the Gemara that that's not correct. The Gemara tells Beferish that that's not correct. The Gemara tells Rabbi Yochanan was sick, and he went to a female non-Jewish doctor, and she wouldn't tell him what the secret is, what medication she's giving him. She gave him pills a couple of days in a row. Then he said he has to know for Shabbos because he can't come on Shabbos. So she told him the secret, and then he let out the secret, told everybody, so they don't have to pay a fortune of money to this Nachris doctor. So you see from the Gemara that even if the person started the treatment before Shabbos, you're not allowed to continue on Shabbos unless he's really a Chodesh Emes Sakana. Then we would permit it, even if he started before Shabbos. And Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he talks about vitamin pills. He says if a person is afraid that they eat junk food all week long and they don't have the nourishment that they need, so they take pills to supplement their the food. Instead of eating healthy food, they eat junk food. So then the pills are really not really refuah. The pills are like eating liver and like eating oranges and like eating... The pills take the place of all the food that you should have eaten. But so that's not, he thinks that's not called refuah. But if the person only takes the pills when they don't feel well, not that they take the pills all the time, as a supplement to their nourishment because they're not eating healthy foods. If they only take the pills when they're sick, then it's considered refuah. Then it's considered refuah, yeah. Let's in Shulchan Aruch and Ebenezer, they have it in. Let's say a couple got divorced. So the husband is no longer obligated to supply mezainis to his wife. And a couple is married, the husband is obligated to give food to his wife. She should have breakfast, lunch, and supper. After they get divorced, not mechuyev. What if the wife was diagnosed with some kind of a medical condition and the doctor says that she has to take pills for the next 5 months and it's going to cost him a fortune? Then he divorces his wife. He doesn't want to pay for the pills. Obviously, he never liked it too much in the first place. So he divorces her because he doesn't want to pay for the pills. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, that doesn't help. Since she was already diagnosed before he divorced her, it was already has already been established that he has to pay for the refuah. So even if he divorces his wife, she still has to have the refuah. So Moshe Feinstein borrows that definition a little bit with respect to refuah on Shabbos. That if it's for the rest of your life, let's say a person is going to need, for the rest of his life, they're going to need pills. So he says that's not considered refuah. That's considered like a mezainis. That's considered food. But if it's only, he only needs his medication for a couple of weeks, a couple of months, and then he's going to go off of it, so then it's called refuah.
Okay, thank you very much, Rabbi. Thank you.